we're doing, how many Rotary trainings are we doing?
Four a month.
Four a month, and every chair is filled. You know, the bill that you passed last year, calling for enhanced training. We use this for Rotary training.
All right.
Angle Rapp, we're going to game manager training Thursday of last week.
Is there a campaign finance training this time as well?
No, we do actually most of that in our downstairs.
Palmer's going to be teaching it.
I've got a bunch of things to kind of go through. We've got all of our main staff here. You know, Bill Hobbs, who is Chief Deputy, Mike Shea.
Before we get too far, we're streaming live over the internet. That's why the mics are set up, so.
Oh, good. Do we need to welcome people or say anything before that, or?
Entirely up to you.
Go ahead. Okay, why don't we just do a little quick welcome? This is the House of Representatives State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee that is doing our first field trip to the Secretary of State's office. We thank you, Secretary Buescher, for opening the doors, and we look forward to being well informed and getting great information and being able to tour the facility for our Secretary of State.
Just introducing Mike Shea. Mike is the Director of Licensing Division. Behind him is Keith Whitelaw, who many of you already know is the head of the Business Division. You also probably know Trevor, and Trevor is the head of our IT department, and we're going to be talking a lot about what Trevor's done over the last couple of weeks. The newest member of our team is Judd Trump. Judd has been on board 2.5 months?
3.5.
3.5. Judd is Director of the Elections Division. Comes to us with a very nice background. I've been a professor at University of Nebraska in Public Policy and Statistics. Law degree from University of Colorado, and some clerking experience. I think y'all know Rich quite a bit. Been over at the Capitol on occasion. Wanted to show you some of the new things that we've done here in the office in the last year. And this is in no particular order, but in the licensing division, there are a couple of things going on. The first you know about is the possibility that the bingo and raffles activities will be moved to revenue, or quite frankly, they more properly belong. And that will be Amendment P on the ballot this year. We all know how crazy it is that we put some things in our Constitution. The location of the bingo and raffling licensing in the Constitution. The second thing I just wanted to mention about what we're doing in that area is a project that I worked on with John Summers. And this is to enhance the ability of folks to review our database on their charitable donations. I'm really concerned about a couple aspects of this. I'll mention it in a second. But you can see we created this website, checkthechair.com. You can probably see I've been talking to a lot of groups, so that John, urging folks to use Check the Chair. We're seeing an increased number of scams, particularly the seniors, and urging folks to go here. There's a number of resources, and you can see they're pretty well buttons, just clicking, and when you click the button, you can see what portion of a charity's revenues are used for fundraising and how they spend their money. So we think we're providing a very solid public service, one that we may actually spend a little bit of money trying to get information out to the public, because there just are too many scams. We're watching very closely right now what's going on. Both for the concern about the folks down there. But also there's some new techniques being used for others you've never seen before. I don't know if you've seen the request that you use your cell phone to text. If you text, they'll add $10 to your bill. And I think that has potential for some real stand. So we're watching very, very closely with John Southern.
And Mr. Secretary, are you just tracking Colorado 501c3s, or is it you know, people in nationwide that are nonprofit status?
The charities that are supposed to register, obviously there are any Colorado 501c3s or charitable organizations, and any charity that raises more than $25,000, that's my state. So those should all be on our website. And frankly, I think there are some holds that a lot of national charities probably raise more than $25,000 without doing any telephone solicitation in Colorado. And we're working on trying to do that. Chris has talked to me, so Mike, do you want to add anything to that?
Just that we're taking a closer look with charities to do internet solicitation. Some new rules, we brought them into the fold, so we're taking a much harder look at them. We've had some discussions with some of those groups.
The other thing that's significant in my division is about 4 months ago, we moved to an online application for notaries. And we thought by this point, maybe 30 or 40% would be online. I think we're over 90.
Yes, sir.
90% already. That moves notary applications much, much more rapidly. It moves it to where our business division has been for some time.
So I think that's the main things, Mike, in your division. Anything else? Okay. Let me talk about the elections division.
I'm gonna use my page. The new online voter registration system will go online in March. You know about that? Every time you worked on that last year, we're moving down that. We spent a lot of time late last summer revising and I think substantially improving the voter registration form that we available. We hired a consultant. We did focus groups, and I think what I'm confident that what you'll see for the voter registration form will be much, much simpler. Get rid of some of the confusions to check the box thing caused some controversy a year ago. We talked to both political parties, we talked to interest groups, just a huge number of folks. Judd, anything else I should say about that effort?
It's literally at the printer.
It's at the printer now.
In the next week or so, we'll have piles of paper for all the agencies that distribute that form. So it's very close to roll out.
Pleased with that. Tracer, the new campaign finance. Mm-hmm. All of you probably worked on that over this last week and were your treasurer. We had staff here until 8:30, 9 o'clock on Friday. When I left, quit talking to Bill Friday night, we had one candidate that knew of, did not successfully file. There were a few small glitches, less than we had anticipated. And most of those glitches, at least that we heard about, were people getting used to a new system. The tool for the new system are substantially better than what we used to have. This is the Tracer homepage, the ability to search the database, generate reports. It is much, much enhanced. Yes?
Secretary Buescher, I would just like to compliment your staff. I have a new treasurer. He's an older gentleman, doesn't do a lot of computer work, and he called the staff here several times to get everything done correctly, and he could not say enough good things about how willing they were to walk him through everything, and they never rushed him. They were very polite, very helpful, so they just did an outstanding job.
I will tell you that Bill and Judd both spent a lot of time with our staff, basically for quite a period of time, making sure that, you know, it's kind of the eye of the storm type situation.
Yeah.
But they were calm, and I think they did provide good quality customer service, government service.
Well, we appreciate it because I know they were under a lot of stress because everybody was trying to do it, and yet they took the time, and it's kind of intimidating.
It is intimidating. Let me tell you that there's a longer story here. I think most of you know it. Shortly after I was appointed, one of the first meetings, and I think in the first 2 weeks, was a discussion about this new system. And at that point, we still had a separate process for the local filing, the county filing. And we stopped the process and said, we need to make it a better system and bring all of those county filings into this, taking away a lot of work that previously was required by the county clerk. And we had a fiscal note on that bill, I believe, of about $270,000 for five campaign finances in our shop. But the county court said we're probably saving close to $1 million worth of work out there. But when we rolled out this system, we also rolled it out for about four times as many, my mind, of people filing with the system as used to file. So we were working. We did an awful lot of beta testing. For the last 3 months, I had a weekly meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. Is the system perfect?
No.
But for a major rollout of a computer system like this, we feel good about it. Came in under budget and on time.
And I can concur. I was actually, I don't know if I'm the one you were talking about, but I did have all kinds of trouble with it Friday night, and then obviously with the weekend and the holiday, but they weren't able to get me fixed and up and running until this afternoon, but they were definitely extremely, for some reason I was locked out of the entire system. They couldn't figure out why, so they had to blank it all out, but they were definitely extremely helpful.
We made a mistake in the original way that we designed our passwords. The password that I have to use to get into our system has to have a capital letter, a lowercase letter, a special character,
and number.
And so we used that with our original requirement, expecting folks to cut and paste. If you cut and paste, it generally worked pretty well. But if you tried to type that in,
it's a pain.
Most people missed it once, and then they missed it twice, and then they're locked out of the system. We set it up so if you tried twice and failed, you got locked out because we wanted to.
Well, they.
So we
they tried two different.
We saw what was happening,
had to wipe it out,
and we start changed the password requirements. I think we got to a pretty good place. We've also seen a couple of other problems. If you've got a return campaign contribution within the same period, it worked okay. But if you're returning a campaign contribution from the prior period, which didn't have an ID number, am I saying that right? The system didn't like it. And particularly for the gubernatorial candidates, that was a problem. Didn't anticipate that kind of a situation. But, we've now got a couple of months to take all the comments we've got, and if you have other comments, please send us an email. We'll continue working. If you want to do a search, I don't know if any of you have done that now, it really works nicely.
Search one of us. Show how you do that.
Well, why don't you pull up mine so that we don't.
I don't have any money. It doesn't matter. I'm raising so I don't have anything.
Secretary of State. Let me see. Total contributions, non-monetary, moving expenditure, ending balance. Then obviously drill down, you can see all the detail of who's contributed. Each report, it really is much, much more fluid than the old system.
check on that complaints part.
Yeah. Yeah. No complaints now. Boy, I was going to be embarrassed of it.
Yeah. We'll have to get something on there, just to make it.
Let me go to another side. I want to talk about budget efficiencies and some of the things we've done in here. Basically recognizing the state's budget problem and trying to run this office as efficiently as possible. We're operating right now, I believe, with 9 vacancies. One of those vacancies was the chief of staff, and then Secretary Kaufman had a relatively high paid position. Overall, we're operating about 10% under on FTEs, so we're saving some significant money there. We've done a little bit too. I don't have handouts. I'm going to show you some things, but we didn't print up a lot of stuff. So we are really cutting down on our color printing. We're reviewing all of our memberships and applications. I will tell you that there are 3 that I feel are very important. There's a bill that would cancel all of it, but our membership in the elections, what is?
We have the National Association of State Election Directors, which is NASA.
NASA. It is hugely important. That's where Judd and his team review federal legislation. We get an enormous amount of support from them. I'm a member of the National Association of Secretaries of State. I am so far behind in my emails from them just because of the amount of information that they give. I'm going back to their meeting next week. Just a couple of us are going. We're sending about a third of what we normally do. But whether it's talking about the efforts to try to improve the ability of our soldiers and other citizens that we will receive to vote, or it's monitoring other legislation in Congress, or monitoring business legislation. This is a truly important organization. We're also a member of the National IACA.
What is IACA? International Association of Commercial Transport. Big group of folks.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about what we do in the business division in a second.
Can I say one thing, Bernie? I had an opportunity this summer to be in Kentucky and met the Secretary of State in Michigan, Mark Ritchie, and as we had conversation, I said, have you had a chance to meet Bernie Buescher? And I just recently got an email from him, and not to embarrass you, Bernie, but he basically said he plays such a key role in bringing innovation and creativity to how to problem solve nationwide. And if you recall, Michigan is the one that had the Jesse, what was the?
Minnesota.
I'm sorry, not Michigan. Yes, so the recount. And he went through this, and it was very, very interesting for me to hear his firsthand experience, and having the respect and regard he has for our Secretary of State was something I just want to say publicly that I knew, but it was nice to hear someone from another state say the same thing. So
thank you.
Job well done.
Let me jump over to the business division. Well, no, I didn't finish what I was saying about our savings. We canceled, and this one was kind of odd to me, but we canceled satellite television services. We had that because of election day. But, now you can get everything on the internet from the camera. That's about $1,000 a year. The Secretary of State has always had a discretionary. It's a line item. We have very few line items. It was a $5,000 line item. And I've cut that to $2,000, savings of my own. With the recent initiatives that were filed in our office, we did most of the work of checking those in and and the initial review here in the office, we saved about $20,000.
We don't know quite yet, but yeah, it's going to be. It's a sizable sum of money.
We saved some good money. So I think we're going to be operating well under our budget, and we're all cash funded, you know, so it isn't tax dollars, but we're continuing the effort to be efficient.
Mr. Secretary, I just wanted to ask, can you give us an overview of what your budget actually is? And I would just, I'm sorry if I missed that, but I just didn't quite get that.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second.
Okay,
if I could.
Sure, you bet.
One other thing before I do that, because I'd like to brag about our business division.
Go right ahead.
Our business division is first in a couple of things. We're the most electronic business division in the country. 95%+ of all of our transactions are done online. Mm-hmm. And new business filings, so if you want to create a new business, 99.5% of those transactions are done online. That's way better than anywhere else in the country. Secondly, we're the cheapest. And we're not the cheapest by a little bit. We're the cheapest by a whole lot. I'm actually handing out graphs at some of the times when I do this. If you want to form a new business in Colorado, it costs you $50, and your annual report is $10. You want to do the same thing in Nevada, which amongst the western states is thought of as business friendly. The new business costs you $250, and your annual report is based on your assets, and it's going to be $500 to $135,000. And it's $10. We are by far the cheapest and the most efficient. And this is really largely due to the efforts that Keith has made over many, many years. We've got an extraordinary business advisory committee chaired by John Moyne. Many of you know John's the chair of about four different committees around the state. The Historical Society, this, geez, I don't know, dozens of things. But they started the process about 10 years ago, and we've continued that. We have about 10 forms that currently cannot be filed online. They're unusual. We're moving down the road of implementing those as we can. Now, the reason I deferred your question is because those fees, those $10, $50, amount to about $12.5 million at some point.
Probably more than that.
It's a little more than that.
The total budget is about $21 million. So
we've got a little bit of federal funds,
Health America, Kodak funds,
ABBA funds,
and then business fees, which is the bulk of it, and then bingo raffle fees
and notary fees. $12-14 million away from both business filings, a few million dollars in bingo and raffles, and a few million dollars in hospitals.
Well, we have to make clear that you get no general fund.
No, we're no.
You are 100% fee and grant, or matching grant funded.
100%. We use those funds to run these departments and to run the elections.
So were you subject to furloughs as well, even though you were self-funded?
No, I did not do furloughs. And quite simply, my dilemma was we have not 100% honored the hiring freeze, but we're about 10% down. And when we're doing things like elections, if I did furloughs, I would have had to hire. I mean, it was completely the type of thing that would have cost us money and provided worse customer service. And so, as a separate elected official and in consultation with the governor and the agency, we decided not to do that. But we're producing more savings through our techniques than we would have produced. In any event, that's basically what we do in business, and that's how we fund elections. The business fees are you to fund elections. It's a very efficient system. I'm really, really proud of these folks. They do a great job. Let's see. Let me mention one other thing, and then I'm going to mention legislation. This is going to be, I believe, the matter of legislation. I'm working with the state treasurer. But in reviewing our finances, Heather, who is not here with us, our chief financial officer, came in and said, we've got $1,570,000 of overpayments that are older than 5 years. These are owed to 40,000 different people and individuals, average of about $37. The current statute makes it difficult to return those monies. There has to be a claim. And I understand the reason for the statute. I'm working with the state treasurer to try to simplify this, and I would like to write checks to these people because I know who they are. They're every law firm in the state. My old law firm, William Sturman Hunter, is owed three of these checks, so we aren't going to take it off. A lot of them are very small. They're a dollar. They're overpayments, or they're situations in which people set up a prepaid account and now have found it easy because of our online system to use credit cards. $25 is owed to the debtor. Most of the banks are owed a half a dozen or two dozen checks. So I'm working with Kerry Kennedy. We're going to try to simplify this. I don't think people should have to file a claim for a $35 check. Okay. So, stay tuned. We'll maybe do this tomorrow.
But what about providing for them to say, we don't need it? Keep it, because by the time you process a dollar check, you've spent $5 to get
and,
it back.
And we're working. We're trying to work here.
Because I'm certain.
Or could they go to a nonprofit?
Doesn't need those $3 or whatever.
Donate.
I think what we do is we do some. Well, first of all, we've got to figure out a way to consolidate so that there's 15 checks that do add up to $200. We write one check, and then there's got to be some de minimis. If it's less than $10, we just send it over. We're trying to work through that, but I don't want you to be surprised. I didn't really mention this to you, I hope you see a bill on that.
Let me show you one other thing about the business.
Are you looking at the possibility that that money could be flipped over to a nonprofit if they chose to? I mean, is that a part of it in terms of giving options, or is it just a matter of?
It's such small amounts.
Yeah.
It seems to me. I don't want to do something where people have to fill out a form to get $20.
Right.
Maybe we can do something in a cover letter that says if you don't want this and don't cash this check and you contribute it to Haiti relief.
There you go.
Or send back. There's a lot of
fund elections.
Yeah.
Let me show you another thing that we started doing when. 6 months ago, started keeping track of new business formation, comparing it this year over last year. And I don't know if you can see this, but this one is an aberration. Okay? But in a normal period of time, we would see about 4 to 6% increase year over year. We're doing this on a quarterly analysis. New businesses. Okay? And last year, we know how bad the economy got. We were down 3% in the first quarter, 8.5% in the second quarter, 9.5% in the third, and it fell off to 15.7% down in the fourth quarter. Just remember the fourth quarter last year. We didn't know whether the economic system was going to survive. So I tried to print this on one page, but to save paper, I didn't. I Googled it, okay? So this is what. We were still down 8% in the first quarter this year, down 5% in the second quarter. The third quarter, we were up 2.66%. Okay. And then look at this fourth quarter.
We're up 9.
Yeah, just a couple months ago. We're up 16.95%.
Wow.
And in December and November, we were up over 20%. Now, I've talked to a number of economists, Henry Silvernay and a few others, and they say, good news, obviously good news, probably three dynamics. One is the bad dynamic. People are doing this because they're out of a job. They're forming a business, home business. Somebody with a sense of humor said that green in the third quarter, those are all medical marijuana. Okay. But the good news is people don't form a business unless they've got some optimism that they are going to make money. So clearly optimism is coming back. And people don't form a business unless they've got some source of capital. And I just saw this morning, I think it was in the Denver Post, that in the fourth quarter, the lending by the SBA doubled year over year. So I don't know that these things all, you know, are perfectly correlated, but clearly, that's the best piece of good news I've seen for a company.
Maybe perhaps your fourth quarter should have been green, because I'm guessing those are green energy small businesses that have been created that are capitalized by federal RF dollars.
I know that I've seen a couple. I went through the list. I saw a couple that looked like they were installation. It's hard to tell. You know, we allow businesses to be formed for any lawful purpose, less than the general reason.
So it's a little harder than 20 years ago to tell. Lastly, I mentioned that we've got three
pieces of legislation that were right. Representative Todd, you were carrying an election statement bill for us. Thank you. Those of you that I worked with while I was in the legislature know that I kind of like the nuts and bolts of cleaning things up. We're not going to be doing, right now at least, a major policy, but we're going to be doing a lot of work, I hope, for the next couple of years, of the nuts and bolts that fix things. We're doing that in election. Senator Bacon is carrying a campaign finance cleanup bill. And then we've got one bill that does have some substance. September last year, I got very, very concerned about what was going on up at the Adams Club. And they have, the commissioners up there have put, attempted to put on the ballot in November a term limit extension proposal that included eight different positions, all in one ballot. And one of those was the district attorney. The district attorney was actually, that's a district that is two counties, Broomfield and Adams County. Mm-hmm. And at one point they were saying, even though Broomfield said they're not going to put it on the ballot, Adams was saying, we're going to put it on anyway. There is a Colorado Supreme Court decision from a couple of years ago, the Sandstrom case that came up out of public, that frankly, I think it's got some bad law. It says that district attorney elections, term limit extensions, are self-executed. Well, we don't know what that means, but kind of suggests that we are not the designated election official in multi-district elections. So who's going to add up all the counties? That doesn't make any sense. It also doesn't make sense that one county can put a term limits extension on it and another county not. Or that they could do it at different times. Mm-hmm. So we're running a bill to try to clean up that series of messages. Say, we are the designated election official, that these have to be put on by all counties that are affected at the same election. Seems to be pretty common sense, but that wasn't the way it was playing out. So I think that's
basically our legislation. I'm sure we'll see other things.
People like to deal with this. I hope that there is a reasonably small amount. The clerks are hugely stressed. And they're stressed more by changes during the year. I think we need to move towards a system where if we make changes to our election law, we do it in odd numbered years. so that we don't have major changes in the years that we're trying to run major elections. Again, that seems to me to make good sense, and I will be singing that mantra. Now, I know that there are some things that are not as difficult, and they can be done. Let's try to focus on making major changes in audience. I think that's everything I've got. Anybody else in the team want to say anything? I will tell you, I am hugely proud of it. We've got a great budget. And they were working until 8:30 on Friday night and cheerfully doing it. And I come in a lot on weekends. And there are always a handful of folks that are working on weekends.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary of State. I know that I have three excellent clerks. I can name them in Denver and Arapahoe and Jefferson County. I've been told by other clerks they're the best in the state. Okay. And they have told me of the problems they have when we have our primaries in August and the general election in November. Just the time is too short. Would you talk a bit about that and what you might propose? And again, I presume that's not for this year, but future years?
You know, we've got a couple of areas where we've got, and I'm only 10, 11 months into this. And I don't want to claim to be an expert, particularly on election. It is very, very difficult. We have made it more difficult to do this. We've got too many postcards and too many long notices that get so long for no reason. And in the area that you're working, some of our time frames just don't mesh there. Let me tell you what I'm working on with Judge. We created a rule to create a best practices and vision commission. And I hope in the next 2 weeks that we can chew main those folks. And I think you're all going to do this. It's going to be very bipartisan. We've got Republicans and Democrats. Unaffiliates. We've got a little trouble getting as much representation outstate as I would like. But I'm going to tee up issues like the time frame, with the hope that at the end of the day, they can make a recommendation to me that I can take to you so that we can run a bill with a narrow title that says, concerning the recommendation of the Best Practices Division Commission to improve or fix. And I hope that over the next 12 months we look at very inconsistent this entire line. There are places where we really struggle, conflict between state law and federal law. We're in a, hopefully just about done with extensive litigation with Common Cause over a 20-day rule. There's a lot of challenges. I think that's about all I can say without saying more than I know.
Can you tell us anything more about Senator Bacon and his campaign finance bill?
Rich?
Like the Secretary said, this is Rich Coolidge with the Secretary of State's office. That is a simple technical cleanup bill that harmonizes a lot of the dates between the Constitution and some statutes. It seemed like any time we would go back, we would delete a statute and add one, you know, 105.5, and we'd still have language over here that connects to the statute that was repealed. So it was, we were just missing each other. So we're just clearing that up. One piece of that bill that we're pretty excited about is getting rid of the candidate affidavit. With the new tracer system, we found that we get all these affidavits in that are notarized, that are signed, that candidates have to deliver to us, and then our staff has to go in and data input that. It would just be easier for you to do it yourself. And so that's one of the things that's going to make it easier on our staff. But that's probably the one that we're most excited about.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, are you familiar with, I just read this in a paper and I meant to cut it out and it got to my recycle bin before I did that, and that is that Clerk Doty from Arapahoe County sent out a notice that if you want to vote by mail-in ballot for the primary, I found that kind of like, wow, this, I don't know how many people read it in the paper. I didn't get a notification in the mail. Just, are you familiar with that? And can you maybe speak to that?
You asked a question different than what I expected.
Oh, okay.
You know, John? The only thing I can throw, I'm not familiar with that particular mailing, but I do know that with our online voter registration form, which will be coming out very shortly, you'll have the option of being able to select that. And so anyone can do that remotely, and it would correspond to your the way that the ballot would be issued within your county. But as for that particular mailing, I'm not sure what that references.
Yeah, it was, and I need to go back, and it was in the Aurora Sentinel. And what I will do is find the article, and then I'll send it over to you, because I found it a little disturbing in the fact that it was just simply a notification that if you would rather vote by mail across the board. So it wasn't like this would be an option or, you know, individually for people, but across the board. So I will, I don't know if you, that you.
We can do a little bit of a,
yeah, I'll do a little
Googling.
Okay. Yeah, it was in the Aurora Sentinel this last week.
What's the option? Option last year, each county can choose to have a mail ballot election.
Right.
It's a county, of course, the county is, you know, county by county choice.
Right.
So she may be referring to that. But then the judge says, even if you don't have a mail ballot election,
getting public input.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So maybe it was just clarify something you just said, Joel. You said about registering online at the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And then that goes from you to the county?
Yeah, it gets approved by the county. So you register online on the Secretary of State's website, then that information is given to the county. The county verifies that that person is can legally vote in their county. And they then, accredit that, which is then put into the score system for our statewide voter registration database.
So now we have two places that we can register to vote, basically, either with the Secretary of State or with our local county.
That is true, although this rolls out in March. But yes, in March you will have two possible ways to register to vote, in the county level or at the state level.
Hmm. Thanks.
So does that filter out duplicates then? Let's say you moved from Summit County and went to Larimer County. I mean, does that filter out, okay, hey, we got two Brian Del Rosos?
That's right.
Or something, so we can...
the process that will happen at the county. When the county verifies that voter registration, they will look to see, is there a duplicate? Well, I see that we already have a person like that in a different county. I wonder if we've got a person who's moved, and then you coordinate with the other county to determine whether or not that person has moved. Now, you can also, within our system, with the new database online, you can, when you're entering, say, I am already registered to vote, and you would literally select your own criteria, you select it, and then from there you can make changes to your criteria. So I've moved to a different county, and you can do that. You can also, if you've never registered, or if you've never been registered in the state of Colorado, you're just moving into the state, you just turned 18, you can go and do a first-time registration. And that, again, would be matched up to make sure that we didn't have a duplicate somewhere, mm-hmm. and then added to the county database.
And so what are the safeguards to be sure people aren't registering in Colorado and Wyoming and Arizona?
Well, the main safeguard is that the way you register in the state of Colorado now is through your driver's license number. And we couldn't have a duplicate driver's license number of someone who's also registering in a different state. Now, they could be registering in a different state under a different criteria, and in Colorado under that particular criteria, and in which case, after elections, we go back and we work with other states to determine whether or not we've got people who have voted across state lines. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but we're in the process of doing that now for 2008. And in fact, we have found a couple of those, and we're looking into the way in which we should prosecute those people who have done things that they shouldn't have done that were a violation of federal law.
Let me mention, some of you know the background. A couple of years ago, we created a statewide database called SCORE. We brought in all of the counties into a single database. When we did that, we found we had 5.7 million records. We don't have quite that many voters. But we have spent an enormous amount of time, particularly this last summer, in partnership with the county clerk, in matching the duplicate active bodies. And before the election in November, we had worked those county clerks, because they did most of the work. We had successfully merged all of the duplicate active files. I want to make it very clear, we didn't destroy any files, we merged files. We got some criticism a couple of years ago about purging files. They just cut the first letter off. Merging. and we now have a couple hundred thousand inactive files, duplicate inactive. We're working with the clerks about how to deal with them, because they're inactive files. These folks can't get a ballot. But we want to have our database as trim as possible, because it works more efficiently. So we're working with the clerks to deal with that. And part of that process, once we got a statewide database to keep track of who voted, we signed an agreement with a number of other states. I believe it was originally 8 states and
seven.
We're up to a dozen or more now, I think, 16 or something 16. Like that. That's quite a few. Yeah.
We found that some folks may have voted both in Colorado and Arizona, and we're working through it. We take someone trying to vote twice very, very seriously, and so we've been in contact with the FBI, and we will prosecute.
Good.
When is a voter considered inactive? Is that a state thing or a county thing?
Okay, well, Bill, when is a voter inactive?
Well, that's an interesting one.
Well, if they don't vote,
two elections.
If, you know, they're still eligible, their record is inactive, and then if they don't respond to certain communications, if they don't respond to the communication, they remain inactive. They're still eligible.
But each county treats that a little differently.
They do a little bit, that is a problem.
Yeah.
There's some variation.
Do you have to miss so many election cycles before you consider, or you just don't vote once and
twice? The only consequence of that is that means you're not automatically sent a ballot in the mail. But like I say, you're still on the polls, you're still eligible voting. It doesn't affect your eligibility, which is one of the areas of confusion that we have. It just means that we don't, if you haven't voted and haven't responded to a notice, means you're not automatically sent a ballot in the mail.
And that's where you can just go onto this website here and just click on your name and say you're active or whatever.
Okay. Has it been taken out of the law that there is a point at which their name will be completely removed from the rolls?
No. Although that has been a point of contention in our lawsuit. Have not voted in two general elections and have not responded to any notices, then under an interpretation of the federal law, then your voter registration can be canceled. That's a point of contention in the litigation, because there's another interpretation that basically says that you shouldn't cancel anybody's registration merely for failure to vote or respond to notices. That's something we're actually negotiating in this lawsuit right now.
That went in NVRA a little bit different language.
That's still, you're correct, that's still in the law, and that's been our interpretation, but not the interpretation of the plaintiffs.
So those types of cancellations that normally would have been done in the past by clerks are not now being done, is that correct?
We've been modifying the rules I don't remember now exactly how it's worded, but basically, you would not be canceled merely for failure to vote in two general elections and responding to the notice.
When do you see the clarification of this happening?
We've got rules that are pending right now. I don't know if we've adopted the final version yet.
We haven't, but it's also subject to some of the elements of this lawsuit. In the lawsuit, we hope, is very near its end. So when that clears up, then we can go through our rulemaking process and we will clarify many of these issues. But it has to come as a result of the court issuance of a ruling or us compromising on a ruling. So.
Okay, thank you.
Now, can I just point out?
Not difficult for me.
can I clarify one thing? We don't delete anybody. And so even though someone goes into canceled status, they are not deleted from our roles. They would just be moved into a, what do we call that? Well, it's not canceled status, but archive. We're moving them into our archive setting. So if for some reason someone was canceled inappropriately or they didn't fit the criteria, then we can always pull them back out of archive and they regain the status that they had previously. So no one ever gets deleted from our system.
And yeah, there's multiple reasons for having these records as good as we can. Obviously, the major important thing for this office is making sure you have the right place to vote. But I suspect everybody in this room has locked the precinct picture. And, when it tells you when this person has voted, you know how crazy that information has typically been. Mm-hmm. We're working really hard to do that. It's a challenge. And it's really a challenge when we're trying to do this in the midst of a lawsuit. Hopefully we're close to something.
Well, I would just like to thank you and thank the entire group for taking your time to share with us and educate us and give us good information. I know that this has been very reassuring to me, and I am very excited to see things being easier to manipulate and get into and operate. So I appreciate all of the technology advancements that are taking place, as well as being able to just simply talk about the savings that are going on with the Secretary of State. I think a lot of times there is that misinformation that, as a state, we're paying so much for all of the different departments, and I think it is important for us to know where the money comes from. And doing business in Colorado, to start a new business for $50 compared to, and I kind of remember that last year from a piece of legislation, and compared to some of the other states, it's amazing. It is amazing that it's very easy to be able to have a startup business in our state. What we want to do is invite people to come and to stay and to, add to the economic development of our home. Welfare.
I would tell you, I'm really proud of my employees, but at the same time, I'm worried. In the newspaper, you see a lot of folks beat up on us.
Right.
These folks work hard, and they have not had pay increases for several years.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how the PERA thing is going to play out. But most likely it's going to involve a 2% decrease in cash pay to them. And if you look at the increased cost of health care that they've picked up each year, I suspect at the end of this year, nearly every state employee will be earning 5 to 10% less, or getting in cash at the end of the day, 5 to 10% less than they were getting 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, at some point, our ability to retain and hire quality employees is going to be challenged. So, as a former JVC member, I would not criticize any of the work that they do, but we can't balance all of these issues in the absence.
That's right.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate your time.